God's word for our meditation today recorded in Philippians chapter 3, previously read. In the name of him who is and who was and who is to come, your fellow redeemed. When you were a kid, did you have a favorite cartoon you liked to watch? Bugs Bunny? Tom and Jerry, the Flintstones, the Jetsons, Scooby-Doo, SpongeBob SquarePants, I don't know. Those are all popular cartoons, but they weren't my favorite. The one that I and my brothers liked to watch more than any other was one called Johnny Quest. Anybody remember that? Right? Race Bannon, Dr. Quest, Haji, their dog Bandit, feels like every time they were on some adventure, right, to an exotic location, whether they're trying to track down some secret spy ray gun in the West Indies, or they're rescuing a scientist trapped in the Amazon jungle, or trying to thwart the plans of a mad scientist trying to take over the world. Johnny Quest and his team were always on some kind of quest. Maybe that's where the name came from, Johnny Quest. Today we continue our sermon series by that same name. Only in this case, it's not Johnny's quest, it's Jesus' quest that we're focused on. During the season of Lent, we focus on Jesus' lifelong mission to rescue fallen man from the effects of sin forever. As the perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ was determined to carry out his Father's will. Jesus was determined to accomplish his purpose for being on this planet. The question is there a parallel for our lives today? I mean, if I were to ask you, what do you think is the purpose of your life? Why are you here? Or put another way, if you defined your life as a lifelong quest, what would you say you are looking for? That's what we want to think a little bit about today as we consider as our theme the Christian's quest. And help us think about that. We're going to look to Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he asks us, in effect, two questions. First, Christian, what are you counting on? And secondly, Christian, what are you pressing toward? First, what are you counting on? If I were to ask you, what do you hope will be the end result of your life? What would you say? Maybe you'd say, well, I hope that when my life comes to an end, I'll go to heaven. That's kind of what I'm shooting for. That's what I'm out for, to be with Jesus forever. And you wouldn't be alone in that desire. Really, every human being in their heart of hearts wants to end up in a better place. Someone once said that ever since mankind was kicked out of paradise, we've all been trying to get back there again. The question is, how? How does that happen? What do we need to do to make the grade to end up in a better place? What are we counting on to make sure we make it through the pearly gates? Well, I think you realize that the majority of people in our world today, if we'd ask them that question, would say something like, well, if I want to be in a better place someday, I better live a better life now. The more good I do now, the better chances I'm going to earn a better spot up yonder. You realize that that's how the Apostle Paul thought, or at least used to. Paul kind of thought that, boy, if I keep all God's laws, I'm going to be a shoo-in to get to heaven. In fact, if Paul were an accountant and he prepared what you might call a personal balance sheet, where he kind of listed what he had going for him and what he had going against him, his profit and loss, some of the things that he might list in his profit column, in the verses before our text, he lists some of those. He says, for example, well, I was circumcised on the eighth day, according to Jewish law. I was a purebred Jew. I was from the tribe of the Benjamites. He says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, right? I came from a long line of people who were faithful to their ancestral traditions. He said, according to the law, I was a Pharisee. He saw that as a good thing. That meant he could boast about all the rules that he kept, both God's and extra credit ones made by man. He said, when it comes to zeal, I was zealous for my religion, right? I would kill people who didn't believe what I believed. He saw all of those things in his prophet column. And then Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And Jesus taught him two things that he never realized before. Jesus taught Paul, first of all, God demands perfection, not just your best attempts at keeping the law. And secondly, that perfection that God demands, that the perfection that no sinner can achieve, that perfection Jesus Christ gives as a free gift to those who put their trust in him. For Paul, that changed everything. It converted him. It led him to see that all those things that he used to be counting on, that he thought were in his prophet column, because he was trusting in them, really didn't belong in the prophet column. They belonged in the loss column. In fact, this is how he puts it. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In fact, in the next verse, he speaks even a little more strongly. He says, I consider them rubbish, literally garbage, even sewage. Got to get rid of that stuff, right? It's stinking up the place. He says, we got to get rid of that. So what? So that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. In other words, all those things that he thought were qualifications to get him into heaven, he regards as loss. Why? So what? So he can focus on what's really important, what truly makes him right with God, and that is Christ and his righteousness. That's what mattered to Paul. On Christ alone, his hope was found. This is what he was going to count on to get to heaven. The question is, what about you and me? I mean, as we think about our personal balance sheet, what are we tempted to put in that profit column? How about, I was raised in a Christian family. I was confirmed in a Lutheran church. I've been a lifelong Wells member. I attend worship pretty regularly. I pray every day. You realize, are these good things? Yeah, they're blessings from God. But the minute we start to think that they're going to make us more acceptable to God, that we've got this going for us, that I can take credit for this, they don't belong in the prophet column. they belong in the loss column. That way, I can see that what I really need is exactly what I already have in Christ. This hymn writer put it this way: Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. This is what allows us to stand before God on Judgment Day, is Christ's righteousness. My friends, when you think about your quest in life, when you think about what really matters, what's more important than anything else, think about what the Apostle Paul said. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, the most important thing in your quest, first things first, is to what? To know Christ. To know His righteousness is yours. To know that His resurrection guarantees your resurrection from the dead someday. To know that even if you endure sufferings, those aren't going to separate you from God. They're going to draw you closer to Jesus who suffered in your place. That's what St. Paul meant when he said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I want to know Christ. But now maybe you're thinking, okay, by God's grace, I do. I know Jesus. I know that I can't count on what I did for God, but can count on what he did for me. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. So does that mean my quest is over? I know Jesus. No, it doesn't. It only means it's time to move to the second question that the Apostle Paul asks us, namely, Christian, what are you pressing toward? Here in our text, the Apostle Paul anticipates the question, well, once you know Jesus, then what? I mean, if you know you're going to heaven, does that mean you got nothing else to do? You can just sit on your laurels? What then? Paul answers that when he says, not that I've already obtained all this. In other words, I'm not in heaven yet, or have already been made perfect. In other words, I still got a sinful nature that I got to fight against. So now I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. In other words, yes, Jesus Christ has won eternal life for us. He stands at heaven's door with this crown of glory for us. It's won. We can't win it. It's already won. But we can lose it. We can lose the crown by getting distracted, by thinking that our spiritual treasures aren't all that important. I'd rather focus on my earthly treasures. And now that I know I'm going to heaven, well, why does it matter how I live here on earth? I know I'm going. I don't have to come to church to be a believer. I can look back and kind of take pride in all the things that I've done, or lament all the sins I've committed, and in so doing I become a runner who's always looking backwards and end up tripping and never finishing the race. That's why Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, whether I'm proud of it or whether I'm not, and straining on toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What's Paul saying? He's saying that as Christians, even though heaven is our home, yes, we're not there yet. We've still got a race to run. And the race is not a 40-yard sprint. It's rather a steeplechase. You know what that is? A long race with a lot of obstacles, right? Got to jump over the fence. You got to get through the puddle. A lot of reasons for people to say, oh, I'm not doing that. That's our race. Satan puts lots of obstacles in our way to try to separate us from the finish line. Because he knows that if I finish the race in faith, heaven is my home. And so he's going to work on me now, between now and then. He's going to tempt me to give up the race, to give in to my sinful nature, to forget about who I am in Christ and the new creation that I am. And that's why Paul says we need to fix our eyes on the goal. We need to keep running the race. We need to feed our faith like an athlete bulks up for the race. We need to beat our bodies, Paul says, to recognize I've got a sinful nature. I've got to crucify that old man. And recognize the whole time, who's given me the strength to do this? It's not me. It's God. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. God alone has the power to preserve you throughout the whole race. This, my friends, is the Christian's quest. First, to know Christ, to know his righteousness. And once we know that heaven is our home, then our goal is to live for Christ, to run this straight race, to fight the good fight, to trust in our Savior, so that when by God's grace we reach that finish line, we can fall forward into the arms of our Savior. God keep us to that blessed end. Amen.